great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we welcome Chen Liang Shabu and Zach Ricard from Shure Mics. We're talking about miking techniques for guitars and demonstrating some of their most popular mics live on air with an acoustic guitar and electric. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at www.sweetwater.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Flo to the Izzo Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. We have a great show for you tonight, and I just want to mention that lead guitar at the beginning. That was a 57, SM57 on that guitar. So anyway, Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Just want to let our listeners know that we will be announcing the two winners of the SM57 giveaway. So you have literally just minutes to get on our website, flowguitarenthusiast.com, and sign up. I'm sitting here actually making sure there's not any more new comments put on our site so we can give those away.
Cool. So what have you been up to this week?
I posted a ton of videos up. I posted up a couple videos of Tracy Guns from when he was on our show. And those are up there. One with him demonstrating quite a few of the different pedals from Samson, actually hot tone pedals and the little amp they have. And then him talking about sleazy guitar, which is pretty interesting and funny to hear him talk about how he's the considered the king of sleazy guitar, but he hates to be called that.
So. Yeah, it was great because those pedals are so small. There's these little teeny guys, and the amp was a 5-watt amp, and it was about the size like about two phones. Like little two cell phones thick or something, or three.
Yeah, it's cool.
It was really cool.
Yeah, and then I also posted up the live on air profiling we did with Kemper Amps, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's another
just even thing. Listening back and watching the video again still convinced me how amazing that amp is. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
So, what have you been up to?
Well, the big news is I finally finished the Flowcaster. I've been building this guitar. We've been looking for parts for it. It's a Tele-style guitar, and it has a graphite neck on it. And I've been going back and forth looking for pickups because I wanted to try to use noiseless noise-canceling type of pickups for it, but still get a bright, twangy Tele sound. And we had a call from Zexcoil that they wanted us to try out these pickups, so I went ahead and had those put in. And I'll be picking it up tomorrow. It's done. And I'm really excited because I want to hear what those pickups sound like. So I'm going to give it a good play this week, and I'll give you a report back. But it looks really beautiful. I posted some of the pictures up, and I'll be posting more pictures. Joel Grant worked on the guitar, and he posted a bunch of stuff. So I'm going to put that up there. You can see what the final guitar looks like.
Cool, yeah. And we'll be having ZVEX pickups on our show.
Yes.
Haven't got the date nailed down because we're waiting for you to finish the guitar. So
yeah, no, it finally got done. It finally got done.
Now we can schedule him in, so that'll be good. So probably, I would say in June, he'll probably show up.
Yeah.
So, and then actually, I should mention that I did just book a new guest, and I cannot remember his last name, but he's written a couple books. Bobby, it's like Oswin. I'm not even going to try to say it. I'm going to butcher his last name, so I'm not going to do it. But Bobby, he's written a couple books called Music 4.0, which is all about using social networking and basically the internet to promote yourself musically.
Yeah.
So, and he's also written a couple good books about guitar tone, so he'll be on the show in June. I think it was the 2nd.
Yeah. Well, you remember when we had the two educators on, one from USC and one from Musicians Institute. They both mentioned that was something that was really important, that the social networking and dealing with the internet and whether you're sending files back and forth or promoting yourself, that's part of their curriculum. So it's very important. It's going to be interesting to hear from him.
Yeah. So we'll have him in studio and because he's here local in Los Angeles, any place. So he'll bring a guitar in. And get him to sign some books, and we'll give them away, too. So
yeah, everybody's a player, and I just want to thank Ronan for running the board today because I'm here with the guitar. And he's a guitar player, too. So everybody pretty much we have on here is a guitar player. It's 100% guitar.
Well, why don't we take a quick little break, and then we'll come on with our guests.
Hi, Kenny Burgle here with a word to the wise listeners of the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show about Sweetwater's Mic Month. In May, we'll be giving away 31 great mics. It's absolutely free. Go to Sweetwater.com to sign up. We'll be posting mind-blowing microphone deals daily. Find out more by calling your sales engineer at 800-222-4700. This is Kenny Burgle from Sweetwater, hoping you win a killer mic from us in May. Go to Sweetwater.com any day in May, and good luck.
Hey, this is Tracy Guns, and right now you are listening to the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts Show with Scott and Jeff and Andy and Tracy, and we're all here partying and going nuts. Anyways, this is the only guitar show I know of that you get to listen to guitar players and manufacturers talk about the cool stuff, and you can call in and talk to them, and you're going to have a good time.
All right, well, welcome back. I want to welcome our guests, Jen and Zach. Welcome, Jen and Zach.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
So, first off, let's just get started and just kind of tell us kind of how you guys got involved with Shure Mics.
All right, I guess I'll go first.
Sure. Go ahead, Jen.
So, I work for Shure. I've been working for Shure. It's almost 8 years now, and I've been in audio for a really long time. From the like kid messing around with the pause button on the tape recorder and like making my own music, and then I came to Shure because I wanted to make microphones. I was like, this is cool, I want to make microphones, and I was in product development for a while, and now I am in the market development team, which we're sort of like field techs. We go around, we do these things, we do trainings, we do just all kinds of things. So
yeah, and actually Jen just actually flew in here to Los Angeles, not I'd like to say for our show, but sure, but I think yeah. But she's here for to do some more training, I'm sure, and she's here for the show too. So, and then Zach, how did you get involved with Shure?
Well, I was working at Guitar Center as just a normal salesman, and used to love selling Shure microphones. This had to have been 14 years ago. And I work for a company called Audio Gear, which is the Southern California, Southern Nevada rep firm for Shure. So we facilitate the sales and training and marketing and kind of everywhere that we do it in Southern California, Nevada. So I walk into music stores, you know, I play guitar, always been into music, and kind of on the sales side of it, just getting the product into the stores and helping the guys learn about the product and sell through the product. So.
Okay, cool. Well, so just let's start off with a few little basics on mics. So when you guys want to tell us kind of how you see the difference between a condenser, a dynamic, and a ribbon mic, I think these are all different mics that you guys make. And then kind of what would be, you know, the use for them. And you can center it towards guitar or vocals or however you want to do it. But how would you use those differently for different sound techniques?
Yeah, so we'll start with the dynamic microphone. The dynamic is the kind of the simplest microphone. It's kind of, you know, the way it started with just a magnetic charge plate. And what it's doing is when you're making sound, it's pressing against a membrane. And so it creates a wave by doing that against the magnet. It's actually, it's funny, I usually draw a bunch of stuff. It's like I've never actually done something where I just have to explain it. But that movement of the membrane is what creates the sound wave for that. What's great about dynamic microphones is no power is required. They can take a high SPL level. They're great for drums. You can throw them in front of a really loud guitar amp. They're super durable. You can generally, like, well...
They're
you can throw
their
workhorses, yeah. So you know they're perfect for being on the road, and they last you a really long time. So moving up from that is the condenser microphone, and the condenser microphones are the ones that will require power, and that's using a charged plate, and that's how it's creating that field that you had with the dynamic microphone, except it's using a charge that it's getting from phantom power. Or we talked about the permanently polarized condensers as well, and those don't require phantom power, but already have that charge built in. But it's the same thing. So typically with condensers, what's nice about condensers is because it's using power with it, it can actually resonate with quieter sounds. So, they're really good for, like, far miking, like piano, or if you're trying to pick up something very quiet, they're great for that. You can overload them with really loud things. That's where, when you're starting to think about dynamic versus condenser, condensers will generally give you a cleaner sound. So once we start talking about frequency response and something being flatter from a pickup, and most dynamic mics will be colored in some sense. So, you know, that's a big thing. Ribbon mics have also been around for a really long time. And we're still talking about, you know, using some sort of membrane that's moving back and forth to create that sound wave. And a ribbon is exactly what it sounds like. It's a ribbon that's moving back and forth. And back in the day, actually, ribbon microphones were they're super warm, very, very lovely sounding. You know, you'll get that with ribbons nowadays. The original ribbon microphones were like, it's super, super thin ribbon, and so they were super delicate.
Yeah.
So ribbons today are a little more robust, but you know, that's something to think of. Like, if you run across a vintage ribbon, hold it gently.
Yeah, we actually had one of our guests in who does only ribbon mics. Was talking about back in the old days that the narrators would actually blow in the mic to detune it, make their voice sound lower.
Oh, yep, that'll
which
do
seems
it.
Like a very bad idea, but.
It's kind of mean.
Just drives the engineer nuts. That's all. They have to go fix it later. But yeah, but and you guys make a ribbon mic too, right?
We do,
which is very cool. So just to kind of skip into that, then on that mic it's like one of the mics you make is a KSM-313,
right?
And then you guys have got actual certain type of technology that will actually, if you happen to bend the mic or the ribbon with wind or sound pressure, it'll actually kind of fix itself, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things is, well, sure, it prides itself in having, like, crazy robust things. Like, if you've ever seen, we actually have a YouTube video stream of us destroying 58s in a variety of ways. If you haven't seen it, it's really hilarious. We run it over with a tour bus and then plug it in and sing in it, you know, just like,
nice.
And it's a point of pride for the company, really. And so now we have ribbon mics, and it was just like, okay, well, you know, ribbons are super delicate. Like, how are we going to do that? And we found this company that made this, and they actually make medical stuff. And they came, but they were also like super music focused people. Even though they're in medical, they loved music, so they made this material, which they called Roswellite, which I think is just the most hilarious name. That is crazy robust.
It'd be backward technology for me.
Acoustic nanofilm? Similar?
I don't know.
See, what
I
you
have
don't,
no answer for that.
What you don't know is Jeff also works on a show about UFOs, so you could be, mention of Roswell.
It'd be back engineered technology, I think so.
Sweet. So, well, I mean, the just of the matter is that with this Roswellite material, I mean, you can fold it. We ran phantom power through it, and it's just like it freaks out the ribbon, and then it snaps back into place. It's like just
wow.
Totally magical. So, you know, so it's like, yeah, take this. Put it. It's actually amazing on a guitar cabinet, and
it also
can
works,
take it.
Also works very well for weather balloons.
I just want to mention that talking about the robustness and heavy dutiness of Shure mics, just look at any vintage Who concert, and the SM58, Daltrey used to have one of them. I saw them in concert, and he would just spin that thing and throw it up in the air about 50, 60 feet, and he always didn't catch it.
Oh, jeez.
But it worked. You know, he would drop it. I'm sure the guy on the board's like, did he make it? Not okay. I'll release the mute button. But it sounded great. I mean, he really beat that thing up, and it just was unbelievable. It was all taped up so the wire wouldn't come out, but he would spin it.
Yeah, actually, Shure has one of those that he actually used to use on tour back at their museum at the factory.
Oh, cool!
Yeah, it's all in the case and everything. It's pretty
sick. It still works.
How round was the ball at the end?
Oh, you had to replace it every session.
Oh, okay. That's pretty wild.
But they're just very heavy duty. I've used 57s for years, And those things just, I mean, we'd throw them in the case.
Yeah, I mean,
we weren't that gentle to them, but they always worked.
Yeah, there is one thing that a lot of people don't know about, sure, and they build everything to what's called mil-spec, okay, and that's military specification, because they still hold the government contract with the U.S. military, and, you know, build a lot of stuff for them still. So we can't just go through and say, oh, we had got an order from the military, let's stop what we're doing and build it extra special. Mm-hmm. So we have to build everything like that. So they test it. They throw a solution at it to simulate sweat. They drop it from seven stories, like what Jen was saying. You know, we burn them. We play hockey with them, dump them into pints of Guinness. You know, there's a whole bunch of different things that they do. But at the factory, it goes through a bunch of testing before it even hits the streets. So we've got to make sure that that stuff's just going to keep on working for you guys.
I've actually seen a YouTube video of a guy doing a hack on a 57 where he boils it and removes the transformer to do a, give a different sound to it. It's pretty wild.
Wow. I have seen a cooking show where a guy used a 58 to mix all of his ingredients and used the mic and everything. It's pretty out there.
Well, Jeff's actually got the acoustic on, so let's talk about the KSM. Is it 12, or is that what it is?
It's the KSM 42.
42. Why did I think 12? What was I? Anyways, the KSM 42 that we have in this, that is a large condenser mic, correct?
Yes, it's a large diaphragm condenser. Really nice for studio recordings. Very kind of a flat, warm sound. So,
yeah. And it's got a lot of highs to it. It really has. Oh, here, I'll play a little bit on this guitar. I'm using a Martin right now. So you're hearing all the overtones. It's just real. It's getting that Martin tinkle.
Frigate's response on this mic's 60 to 20. Mm-hmm. So you're getting a real wide range. You know, max SPL is 139. So
you
really
could use this for a cabinet then if you wanted to.
Yeah, if you really wanted to. You know, max SPL 139. I see these on cabinets. I see them mic'd on acoustics as overheads on drums sometimes. I mean, it's a really versatile microphone.
Now I'm pulling, while he's talking, I brought out the Guild 12 string. So this has a lot more, even more high frequency. It still gets a warm with the larger diaphragm. Now I'm playing closer to the sound hole towards the fretboard.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And so right here you have it right 4 to 6 inches from the sound hole. There is a lot of different ways to mic acoustic guitars with microphones, of course. I like to do a couple different ones. Roughly, you back it up just a little bit.
Okay.
What you get is you get a little bit more bassy. It's a good string placement when leakage is a problem when you're miking. So it's just kind of a good starting point, and then you can get that happy medium when you start getting closer
to
the sound hole.
Hey, Jeff, hate to do this to you. So why don't you switch guitars so that we can really hear the bassy part of the with the D.
I'll go back to the Martin.
And as you get closer, you get kind of more warm and more bassy and more woody as you get closer to the sound hole.
Right. Now, I'm about a foot away. But it's still getting that tinkle from the top, and it's still getting the, you know, the lower.
Yep.
Definitely. Now I'm going to move closer. Now I'm about 6 inches away.
A little more boomy there.
Yeah, a little bit more boomy. And as you actually get closer, right, you can really kind of get up on it if you need to get that real good isolation. But then you'd kind of have to do a bass roll-off to kind of get a more natural sound.
Right.
As you get closer, you're going to get a little bit more boomy.
The bass bump is part of the cardioid, right? That's a phenomenon from the cardioid. You get closer,
you do,
it's a little
deeper. You do get it's called proximity effect. As you move closer to the mic, you can, and you can use that to your advantage.
Yeah. Now I'm going to throw a tangent at you real quick because mm-hmm. I know we're focusing on this mic, but what's a good mic for bass guitar? What's used a lot for that? Because you don't need all the. I mean, would this be
that low would enough? Be fine for that? Yeah, I mean, it does have like the large diaphragm is great for bass reproduction. Mm-hmm. But what you generally want to do is look for something that's, you know, fairly flat. Large diaphragms are great. And actually, you can do, like, we were talking about the SM7 mm-hmm. when we first walked in.
Yes.
The SM7, even though it's, you typically think of it as, like, a radio speech mic.
Yeah.
It sounds really great on a bass.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's, it just gives it a great warm sound.
Now, the SM7 is not a, it's a dynamic, right?
It is a dynamic.
So if you, because this mic that we have on here, this is phantom powered,
mm-hmm.
and so if you were like live and you didn't have a phantom power setup, you could probably use something like that. But this is great, and these mics all handle high pressure. So mm-hmm. if you're playing in a rock venue, it could handle the bass without breaking up. So yeah, I love this mic.
So Jeff, why don't we give people a couple more samples with that? Why don't you move it to where the mic is, where your bridge is at? And then after that,
I'll just
then
move myself to where the bridge is at.
Well, that's And then after that, then move to the like around the 12th fret.
Okay, where do you want me to go? Do you want me to?
Maybe like I don't know this little book that I have.
I was going to ask you how far do you want me to be from the mic?
Roughly about 4 to 6 inches would be good.
Okay, I'm moving in a little bit. Towards the bridge, and about 4 6 inches. Now I'm going to go down and move to. It's almost like the 12th fret.
Yeah.
Can hear the difference.
Yes. So one of the things I think that's important for our listeners to hear is you can hear basically by your mic placement on the acoustic guitar, you can EQ it without touching the EQ.
Yes. Yes.
So that's exactly what you just kind of did there. By going to the 12th fret, you got rid of a lot of the bass, so you could do that. You could possibly use the mic you even have next to you there as your 12th fret, kind of get you a nice tinkly sound, and maybe use your other one and get your thump.
Yeah, I mean, in sessions I've seen them use, they've put one closer to the body of the guitar and one up pointing towards the sound hole, but from at about the position of the neck, right around the 9th fret.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they'll spread that. That's a common miking technique. Now I'm going to try fingers, which is a little deeper sounding, and mm-hmm. I'll do the same thing. I'll start with the mic next to the bridge, and then I'll go over to the 12th fret. To the neck. I think you can hear the difference.
Yeah.
So it brings that out. Do we want to go ahead and try this, the 57A? 87. I can't read it.
It's 87.
I can't see. Yeah. Old 8. Now I'm about four inches away, and I'm trying to move over so you're getting more of the bridge. It's got a nice top end to it. Now I'm going to go towards I'm about 4 inches and I'm at about the 12th fret. It's a brighter, brighter, tinkly sound. Now, let me try the 12 string on that. Pickup will bring that out. Excuse me. This is live radio.
Just want to let everybody know while he's switching guitars, I have closed the comments for the winners, and we'll announce those when we switch to the 57. So we'll get there pretty soon.
Okay, here we go with the... this is towards the bridge. Okay, now I'm going towards the neck. Now, this guitar is a very upper mid-rangey sounding guitar. I just want everybody to know it's the Martin's a much deeper guitar. But this mic, what's nice about it is that it cuts. So, like, if you're using this thing live for the guitar, it would really bring it out.
So on the 87A, now that one is also used a lot of times for vocals, correct?
It is.
Yes. Very big vocal microphone.
Well, yeah, what are kind of its advantages of using that versus like a 58? Why would you go with that? Because, I mean, obviously that's a little bit higher end mic, so why would you want to go there?
Well, there are a couple differences. One of the big ones actually being the pattern of the microphone, which we actually didn't really talk about.
Oh yeah, we didn't hit patterns.
So actually, let's talk about that for a second, because that's one of the very that's pretty important actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, the first type of microphones were omnidirectional microphones. Mm-hmm. Omnidirectional microphones means no matter where I stood, whether I was in back of the microphone or in front of the microphone, I would get the same amount of sound. It just picked up everywhere. So the first type of rejection pattern was the cardioid. And so the cardioid is about 120 to 180 degrees. It varies depending on the mic, obviously. But it's a wider pattern. So what that means is that it picks up most of the sound if you're right in front of it, and it has rejection from behind it. So it's great for live sound. You're up there as the singer, guitar player, whatever, you're singing, your fans are screaming at your face, and the microphone is not picking them up. So, and therefore not putting the screaming people through the PA, which is exciting.
Yes.
The next polar pattern that's important is supercardioid. And so supercardioid takes that cardioid that we were talking about before and then slims down the pattern even more. So you really have to be cognizant about being directly in front of the microphone. And as you start moving off axis from side to side, you're eventually going to go away. Though the interesting thing about sort of the physics of this is squeezing the pattern means it adds a little lobe in the back, and directly in the back. So you will get a teeny little bit of pickup if you're directly behind.
Really?
Yeah.
For instance, like SM58s, right? Mm-hmm. That's a cardioid pattern. So I usually tell guys, if you're setting up on stage and you're still using monitors, you want your monitor directly in front of you when you have an SM58 in your hand. Well, if you jump to a Beta 58 or a Beta 87, you want to have your monitors 45 degrees off axis so it doesn't go into that actual tail at the back of the microphone.
Yeah, just from a feedback thing. And sort of the next pattern that you go through is, so you have cardioid, supercardioid, skinnier, hypercardioid, which is even thinner than that. So you really have to be like right dead center, and it has a lot of rejection from the sides. It's great if you have a super noisy stages, and that lobe in the back, now that you've squeezed it, you squeeze the lobe a little bit bigger.
Wow.
And then the most extreme of that is a figure eight pattern, and that is, it looks just like an eight. It's you can be in front of the mic, you can be behind the mic, you're going to get exactly the same, and it's total rejection on either side. The ribbon microphones are a perfect example of
that. I was going to ask you if that's what your ribbons are.
Yep.
And are your ribbon mics, are they polarized, in this, where one side is one polar pattern and the other one? Or no. What am I trying to say here?
Actually, our ribbon mics operate a little bit differently depending on which model. The 313, which is the red and black one, has slightly different sound properties on either side. So it's brighter, it's a slightly brighter on one side, and then a little warmer on the other side.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is nice because depending on what you're trying to do, it gives you a lot of flexibility all in one microphone. You just flip it around. The 353, though, and that's the one that's a little warmer than the it's the more warmer of the ribbon microphones, and that one is the same on either side.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What is the pattern for a shotgun mic? And for the people out in the audience that don't know that, it's basically a mic that rejects like 15, 20 feet and then picks up something, but it's is that a cardioid?
It's called a cardioid low bar.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah, and that is, which is hard to do on the radio, it has like these little little nubs like on the sides. If you look up any of the shotgun microphones, that's how you draw it. But think cardioid, but the official is cardioid low bar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. And so you said the 58 is cardioid, but this the 87A is super cardioid?
It is.
Super cardioid.
Yeah.
And then, so and it I was reading that it also does really well rejecting your monitors even better, and but yet it even has like a real studio sound to it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you use that with multiple singers, or would you recommend only using it with one singer, like if you had backup singers?
You can use it with everyone. I mean, it really depends on what kind of sound you're looking for. You know, it's the answer is almost always going to be it depends. Like, what is the sound that you're looking for? Like, are you trying to make this singer sound more high-pitched? Or do you want them to warm out? You know, like, do you want, like, the old-timey radio sound?
Right.
Like, what, you know, what's your end goal of the style of music that you're doing? And what does your vocalist sound like? And then the other thing to be cognizant of is microphone technique. So, you know, we talked about the polar patterns. You need that performer needs to be cognizant of those polar patterns. So, you know, a cardioid doesn't do very much good if the microphone is by your ear. So,
yeah.
If you ever watch some of the really good singers, you'll see them constantly moving the mic back and forth as they sing or phrasing. To balance it out a little bit. Some of it level, but also, too, they want to get a deeper sound or a little brighter sound.
That's actually what Frank Sinatra used to do. People used to think it was because he was drinking, but he was actually working the mic.
Yeah.
Because he was always holding on to the mic and pulling it closer in and out. But
yeah, so
he was drinking, too, because he does.
Yeah, like so when you were playing earlier with the 42, you were moving back and forth, so we were showing how as you get closer, you're going to be using the proximity effect, and it'll get warmer. And that same goes for any of the handheld microphones that you use as well. And actually, one of the greatest examples I like, you know, as much as we talk about vocalists, is comedians. Comedians use proximity effect all the time, like the ones that are like super active and do sound effects, right? If you want to see somebody like really work the mic and use all like the different flavors and the physics behind it, watch a comedy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Jeff, why don't you switch over to the electric guitar? And while we do that, we can announce the winners of the 57 microphones. So while Jeff's doing that, so we have a Quilter amp in here, the Quilter MicroPro 200, and that's what Jeff's going to be playing through. And then we're going to be using an SM57 on the mic or on the amp, which is classically what most people
do. Yeah,
we're
moving the mics over. I'm going to move all these mics so we can try all three of them.
So, and just to let you guys know, so here's the winners of the SM57. So Kevin Gibbs is the winner of one of the SM57, and the other one is Ray Lopez. And Ray actually had a little comment saying that they just got a singer named Kat, and they need a mic. So there you go.
Here we go. Congratulations.
Perfect.
Congrats, guys. I'll be contacting you via email, and we'll be getting those out to you as soon as possible. So we're just waiting for Jeff to set up. So can you guys tell us, we were talking about this, but there's a little bit of misconception on the 57 and 58 that I was asking, were they named 57 and 58 because they were made in 1957 and 1958? Can you give us a little bit of, clear my wrong history up, because I've been completely wrong on lots of 57 history today, as we can see.
No, it is not because...
There we go.
All right. So no, it is not because it came out in 57 and 58, though that would be really cool. The 57 actually was released in 1966.
Ah.
So,
and was it the 58 that came out first?
It was the 57 that came out first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Though it was shortly thereafter.
Okay. Now the one of the myths that I thought was true, but apparently it's a myth. Kind of giving away the answer now, but I always thought there was a difference between 57, 58 electronically. But there's not, correct?
Correct. They are exactly the same underneath the hood. So it's the changing of the grill that accounts for the sound differences that you hear. The 57 is obviously a little brighter with its thinner grill. The 58 has a little more windscreen effect with that. So yeah, that's what you're getting.
Yeah, and actually, I think you guys actually sell an accessory for the 57 that puts on its own little kind of windscreen. My dad has them, and he swears that that's what they use for the president. So.
Well, I was going to say a cool little tidbit about the SM-57 is every single president since Lyndon B. Johnson speaks out of two SM-57s every time he
addresses. Well, I'll be damned if my dad's listening. You're right.
Yeah, he was totally right.
Yep.
Has been since Lyndon B. Johnson.
I've been wrong three times today. I'm going to go home. This is it.
No, the 57s originally came with a foam filter on it. Mine had. When I bought mine many years ago.
Apparently 1966.
I think it was 1958. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, it was... they came with that filter. Now, I just want to mention, too, I'm using the Shure Wireless.
Yeah, we definitely want to cover that and talk about that.
Yeah, that's that is the brand new GLXD16 guitar pedal tuner / receiver. It's one of the first for sure. It actually works with any standard 9-volt pedal board that's out there. The one thing that I really love, being a guitar player myself, milliamps become a big, huge thing, right? How many milliamps is this pedal going to draw? Right?
Yeah.
This thing's very efficient, pulls 250 milliamps from the wall, so I can run another 6-7 pedals down the train of my pedal board, which is really nice. Digital sound quality, so... And, of course, revolutionary battery management. So you were looking at 16 hours of battery life on this thing. You never have to buy a AA battery. It'll probably end up paying for itself if you're a touring musician or gigging musician. If you're playing 50 times a year, this system ends up paying for itself within a year.
Wow. And so, and then obviously the only thing you're charging up is the battery, your transmitter.
It. Yeah, and the wonderful thing about that is if anybody owns a cell phone, you know, they already have kind of the charger that you can have with it, or it comes, you know, because you're charging via micro USB.
Oh, okay.
And you take micro USB from a computer, from a wall wart, from your car charger, so I could be driving to a gig.
We actually have a car charger accessory.
And we have a car charger accessory, you know.
Nice.
And a 15-minute charge will give you an hour and a half play time. So even if you forget to charge it, throw it on, charge it for 15 minutes, I'm going to be able to have it for an hour and a half.
Wow.
I love that tuner on there, too.
Oh, not to mention strobe tuning and meter tuning. So we do both strobe tuning and meter.
And I assume when you tune it, you press the button and it'll mute it out.
You can do it both ways. You could, you know, have
you
it
can
mute, or you can mute live, or you can tune while playing live as well.
Now, I'm going to play a clean, and then I'll do like a dirty sound, so you get a little bit of both. And we have the SM57, the classic.
Yep.
Now we move the 87A. And the KSM, we have all three of them here. So I'll start with the 57, which everybody pretty much knows. This is the clean sound. Sound I remember in the studio with the 57. Okay, now let's go ahead and switch to the 87A. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's try the KSM.
Okay, so here's a clean, both pickups.
Difference in the that you can hear the difference, the characteristics of the mics, all of them very musical, totally. There's all sorts of possibilities, and I just want to mention one of the things we used to do in the studio a lot is we would use the 57 pretty close. These mics right now are about 6 inches or less in front of the speaker, slightly off axis, but we would put the 57 close, like within a foot or so. And in fact, the lead that we had at the beginning of the show on the float, the lead that I play at the beginning of the flow guitar, and that session we were using a Fender amp, we had that 57 there, and then we used one of the condenser mics, and we had that mic about 6 feet away. And then we had a ribbon mic way back, about 12 feet, and they mixed that together, and that's how I got that sound. But it was interesting because what I see as a guitarist and recordist using this condenser with the probably either the 57 or the 87A, pulling the other one back a little bit just to get a little more of a room effect, depending on where you're playing, would make a big difference. I mean, to me, it's a cool sound to have. Actually, Ronan's going to move the mic back, so we're going to move the KSM back. Actually, a little more. Let's move it back about 3 or 4 feet. And he's going to mix the two together. And I'm going to go to a boost sound. Okay, so. That's just the 57, or is that both of them?
That's both.
Okay, bring up a little more of the KSM while I'm playing, just so they can hear what it's doing. It's kind of more room sound. Now, depending on the studio, you know, remember, we're in a radio station. This is a square room, so you got parallel waves, and it's pretty reflective. But in a studio situation, when you pull it back, where you're getting more of the room, you even get more of a, but you can see the difference, how much it fills it out a little bit.
Yeah, and you can even hear it when you were playing here. As soon as you pull it out, it kind of gets you that big, warm, kind of full sound.
Yeah, it adds more to it. And that's something you should, I know it's hard to do that in a home studio sometimes because you don't have the room, but if you can get yourself set up where you can put a second mic, especially a condenser like this KSM, pull it back a little bit, and have that and mix it in with something like the 57 or the 87, it's an interesting sound.
And also on that, depending on what amplifier you're using, a lot of the times putting a microphone in the back of the amplifier as well as the front at the same time and getting that, because you're getting that resonance off the back of the amp too.
That's cool.
So now, what would you recommend? Trick. Do you recommend anything with phasing on that, or should you just experiment with it?
What you can experiment best? With it. Throw it out of phase if it starts to sound funky on you, but you shouldn't have any phasing issues.
Interesting.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed when I've used multiple 57s, like especially on drums, I've never had really any phasing issues, which is kind of interesting. And I've had it with other types of mics, but or even mixing mics, but they usually were pretty true. I mean, I've never, again, I didn't have them 90 degrees from each other or something like that, but they basically, you know, worked pretty well. I never had that problem even live, which I thought was kind of cool.
Gotcha.
What about the 57 works well for, because besides working for guitar cabinets and guitar miking, you know, it's used a lot for drums. Why is that mic work well for drums, and is there certain parts of the drums you recommend it for?
Well, you can smack it with this. Yeah. Let's start there. Well, it's actually, I mean, drums in general, dynamic mics, mm-hmm. is the way you're going to go if you're close miking your kit. You'll probably have some condensers for, like, cymbals, rides, that kind right. of stuff. But dynamic mics are really, in general, the mic of choice for close miking a drum kit. The 57 is nice. It's a small profile, so mm-hmm. it doesn't get in the way. It has a nice high end per our discussion about the grills right. earlier. It's a little brighter high end, and that reproduces very well for a drum kit. So you really get that initial hit sound that you're trying to build, and then, you know, the rest of the resonant of the drum.
One thing that really worked with the 57, and they might not want to hear this, but you could, you know, if you play right, especially on drums, you can get it to clip a little bit, and that it would compress a little bit. And that compression and that clipping, that sound, was part of the sound. And especially on the snare, because you can get a real, the dynamics on a snare, it'll distort a mic, but it was a nice sound. We actually used the mic specifically to distort it to get that tone, but it would get that real fat, you know, sock in your face.
Gotcha. You know. I mean, and you had to get that pretty hot, because it's pretty hard to distort that capsule on a 57.
Yeah, no, but we would play hard, but it would break up a little bit. We used to do the same thing with some of the guitar amps, but you had to leave the room because it was so loud. But it had a sound that was part of that.
Definitely.
Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you is the difference in the 57 when it was made from the earlier ones, did they improve on the materials, or is it basically exactly the same as it was made before?
You know, I'm not 100% sure. Most of our stuff, though, does remain pretty true.
True.
It'll get, like, a new letter or a new, you know, if there is some variant, obviously, as time goes on, sometimes you can no longer get a part.
Because I'm wondering if some of the earlier mics, the SPL levels were less, you know, as you manufacturing and the technology developed, because I've noticed now that pretty much all your mics handle, like, you know, beyond blowing up our ears and making them bleed, they'll handle it fine. But I'm just wondering, back then, was it, you know, is it now, is that developed? Is that a part of a technological advancement where they can tolerate more volume?
I don't believe there have been any changes with the 57, but I don't know for sure. I'd actually have to ask one of the lab guys.
Okay. It's a great sound.
Now, one of your oldest mics, actually had a guy on a forum when I was advertising the show, mentioned, wanted to just ask kind of more about the history of it, and then I guess probably about the modern versions of it, the 55SH that you guys make, which is what he called the Elvis mic,
yep.
which is featured on the U.S. postal stamp. By the way, I don't know if you guys got a little patent or a little kickback from the post office on that, but
I doubt it.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's cool to say we have a stamp.
Yeah, that's right. You're right there. Right there.
They should give them a discount for shipping.
Come on. Well, the 55. Well, it's been around for a while. I mean, the original one was released in 1938.
Wow.
It's been around. And it was really the first single element unidirectional mic. Up to that point, it was all omnidirectional mics. There was no rejection. So this was pretty revolutionary.
So that must have been what that definitely explains why Elvis was using it, because he could put his hand back there and do his little moves and not affect the sound.
Well, I mean, just in general, it became widely adopted by the engineers because, you know, you could put it through a PA with having a polar pattern.
And later on, that one became, wasn't that the one that became popular for harmonica?
Actually, that's the Green Bullet.
Yeah, that one's a little different.
It's a little bit different?
Yeah, so there's the original, the iteration of it was there was the original 55. There was the smaller version of the 55. The original one is actually quite large. It's not something that you would hold in your hand. It kind of covers up your face. And so, and actually that's where the S comes from. It's the small version. So you have the small version, and then it added like the swivel was the next iteration of it, and that's the cartridge is the Unidyne 3.
I have one with me that I don't even know how old it is, but it's clearly not working because whenever you move it, you can hear it going clink 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 clink.
But you got the name on it too. You should see which one it is.
Yeah, I think it's without the. See here, it's this. It's the 55S. It doesn't have the H.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I don't know how old that is. But.
And then just to let you guys know, we actually revamped that one a couple of years ago, and we made a Super 55 now. So now it actually has a similar capsule close to the Beta 58. So now you sound really, really good, and you look really good as well. So what we did is we took the same microphone, put a blue grill underneath, looks really good on stage, and sounds really awesome as well. So.
And, you know, mentioning that actually just reminded me of one thing I wanted to mention before, because we're actually coming to the end of the show. But I wanted to ask you guys about a product you make, which I think is really cool. You have it's a kind of an adapter that you can add to any mic that will turn it into a USB.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the X2U. I love that adapter. It's just like a little cylinder, and it's USB. Mm-hmm. It's tiny. You can just throw it in your bag.
Supplies Phantom Power.
So does it have batteries inside of it? Is that what it does? Or
it takes the USB power off your computer.
Oh, okay. And that's how it gets you
to
power.
And then it's core audio drivers, plug and play.
And headphone plug.
And a headphone plug in the side.
So and you can do that with any mic.
Yep.
Any microphone.
And is it per power up to 12 to 48 volts?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's really neat. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, actually, I have a couple guys I work with that are way into creating like some podcasts and stuff like that, and I keep on recommending different mics for them. Now I want to tell them about this.
Yeah.
So that they can use what they already have.
So perfect. So,
very cool. Well, where can our listeners learn more about Shure mics and tell them where they can find out more about Shure?
Well, Shure.com is always a great place to start, and we actually have a great section of the website, which is our training section. Which has all kinds of webinars. It has, and we brought some books. There's a microphone techniques book. Those are available as a PDF. You just download it. So, and then obviously all the products are there. But
The mic listening lab as well.
Oh, yes.
That thing's
we
awesome.
There's a mic listening lab, and you can listen to every single one of our microphones.
That's cool.
On different samples. So.
Very, very cool. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming in. Really honored to have you in. Are you going to play us something out, Jeff?
Yeah, I think I'll just finger pick with this KSM because I love it so much.
Okay. We definitely want to thank our sponsors, Sweetwater at sweetwater.com. And we also want to thank Quilter for the MicroPro 200. That's actually, I think, it's QSC.
Yeah, QSC. It's the Q of the QSC.
Yeah.
So Pat Quilter.
Very cool company. Pat, we had Pat on the show in December.
He's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, this amp is great. This new Quilter amp. And, all these, I think these mics are on, that's part of the microphone sale over at Sweetwater, right?
Yeah, I think they have a whole craziness where they're giving away mics, and then they're also, like, at discounts and special editions and rebates and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and I did want to point out for the listeners, so, you know, the KSM-42, that has a street price of $799. The Beta 87 that we were listening to has a street price of $249, and, of course, the SM-57 has a street price of $99. So, kind of have the big difference.
Can you give the model number and the price for the wireless system?
Yes, the GLX-D16 is the digital tuner / wireless system for guitar, and I believe that one sells for $499 or $449. Don't quote me on that one. I know it's one of those two.
And go check out my YouTube channel in the next couple of weeks because I'll be doing a demo of that.
Yes, and you will be very impressed. I know you will.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
Well, thanks again, everyone.
Thanks
Jen
us.
And Zach. Thank you so much for coming on. And Jeff, why don't you go ahead and take us out?